حي على الفلاح.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تمش في الأرض مرحا إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. وقال تعالى: ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. وقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, my sisters, first Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The human being is a very intelligent creature. The human being has been created so that the human being can civilize this earth. And for the human being to be able to civilize the earth, and for Allah to test that human being, Allah gave some human beings some qualities and He gave other human beings other qualities. Without this, there wouldn't be the test. So when Allah gave things to human beings, He gave some of them more intelligence than others, some of them more beauty than others, some of them more agility than others. He made some more better with their hands than others, some more better with their brains than others, some better more with their legs than others in running. Some He made them more better with their eyesight than others, some He made them more handsome than others, some He gave them more money than others, some He gave them more laughter than others, some He gave them more favors than others. And Allah has given all of us so many different ni'mas and gifts. So whatever you've got as a human being, you've got that because Allah gave out of His favors to everybody many, many things, and some things He's given you more than others, naturally. If He didn't do that, and if He gave everybody everything, then there would be no point of this whole world and the test. The reason why He's given some of us more than others is that those of us who have less always look up to those who have more. So if I don't have much money, I might be, you know, I will probably have to go to a person who has money or who can give me a job to try and be in a position where we can work together. And I can be the employee and he can be the employer. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us like that, where some people will always find themselves in certain settings that will get more attention than others. Or they will have a need and necessity based upon the qualities that they've got. So the ones who are good with their hands, they are good at building things and, you know, mending things. So we need them to come and mend things for us. But then those who are good with their brains, we need them to think for us and make, you know, give us certain plans, and we need them. But then again, you need to go to the other guys who are good with, you know, being able to do something else, like a skill or something that they've got. You will be indebted to them. And then you see the beautiful guys and the handsome guys, you need them for certain things. And people with beautiful voices, you need them more than others. Like you want to get somebody on for a good show and a nasheed or whatever else, you need the guys with a good voice. Do you understand? You don't want to get myself on there. You know what I'm saying? You want to get people who can actually entertain you with a nice voice, you need to put them on there. So every person has got their place or their position or something in this world. Now, what happens is, Allah Azza wa Jalla has announced already in the Quran, there's a reason why He did this. And, you know, this whole spread of you've got more than somebody, you've got less than someone, and what you might have, might not have. So Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. I have made some of you for others a means of a test. أتصبرون وكان ربك بصيرا. Allah says, will you hold on to yourselves? Will you hold on to yourselves? Because your Lord is watching you. This is in the Holy Quran. It is in the Holy Quran in Surah, it's at the end of the 18th Juz. So this is Surah number 25, ayah number 20. Where Allah Azza wa Jal has told us that the whole purpose of us having different qualities and different things is He wants to see which one of us is going to hold ourselves back. And there's a lot of meaning in this, which means somebody's got more than me. Will I say that I'm happy with what I've got? I'm going to hold myself back by saying that, why didn't I get that? Why couldn't I be like him? You know, he's so muscular. And me, man, you know, I'm some kind of skinny guy. You know, I need the muscles. If I had a six pack like him, then, you know, I could seriously show myself out there with a nice, you know, thin, tight t-shirt. I go out there, everyone's going to be looking at me. All eyes are on me, you know? And some other woman might be thinking, man, if I was as beautiful as her and I just go anywhere, I'll just have all eyes on me. But I just haven't. I'm beautiful, but I'm not as beautiful as the other one. And you have some people who got money. If I had money like that other one and I could buy a car like him and I could seriously have the low spoilers and the big car, yeah? The big one. If I could have that, then it'd be all eyes on me. And some other one says that if I could have the skill that he has, it'd be all eyes on me. And some other one says that if I could, you know, if I had a voice like him, if I had that, you know, some people have got the willpower. So many gifts Allah has given. If I had that, then it'd be all eyes on me. Now, subhanAllah, Allah says in the Holy Quran, in that ayah, He says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. Some of you are a test for others. Means that, will you really start saying that? Would you really start wishing that you had that other quality, or would you be just happy with what you've got? And not just that, each quality that you got, it comes with a price. Guys, it comes with a price. Because the human beings are such that when they get too many eyes on them, if one human being gets too many eyes on him or her, whoever he or she is, then in the rest of us, naturally, there starts to be feelings of jealousy. Yes or no, guys? You know, when you've got one human being and they're getting a lot of eyes on them, and then the rest of us are there thinking, man, that guy, how come he's got that many people liking him? How come he's got that many people after him? And in the end, there's always jealousy that creeps in. Then what happens is, the greater the human being becomes, the more people want to just do things to put him down so that they get a chance to have all eyes on me. So that they can break that whole sequence of people just giving all their eyes towards this one, and they can start giving it towards themselves. And people do all sorts of things. So the same gift you had becomes a test. And sometimes it's not even your fault, but you just got too many eyes on you that you just don't want to have. Let me give you an example. Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, he was absolutely, tremendously, I mean, we're talking about a man that is so beautiful. Like, how beautiful can you be? You think, how handsome can you be? Like, if a really nice, handsome guy was to walk out, you know, out there, and there were, you know, women that were walking past. Okay, fine, he'll get some looks. Yeah? So you just walk out there and they'll look. Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at that. Look, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, yeah? That's it. What else could happen? Or maybe some of them might just take, you know, say, look, stop. Just look at him. Wow, yeah, this guy. I mean, not every woman would do that out there. But you can imagine, like, someone's really, really handsome, maybe. They'll probably have their eyes on there. But could you imagine any woman who would go to the extent of looking at someone so beautiful that if you were to cause her pain, physical pain at that moment, her body's become numb? Could you imagine that? How beautiful that man must be. So what happened is in the according to the Quran, here is Zulaykha, and what she does is she's gone completely crazy for Yusuf alayhi salam. And there what happens is that the women of the city, they start talking about her, and then she brings them to her house, calls for a party, makes all the women sit around, all of them got cushions and they reclined. She gives a knife in each one's hand, and she gives a fruit in the other hand. She tells them to cut it while she just tells Yusuf alayhi salam to walk out, just in front of him, just walk out. So he just walked out in front of him. Now previously what they said is, they said that this woman has gone completely crazy. She's after this young man. What's wrong with her? They previously said that. Right now what they're doing is they were cutting this fruit. They're looking at Yusuf alayhi salam. Said, oh my God, oh my God. Can you imagine, right? It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful that they said, this is not a human being. This is an angel. And they just looked at him. Until he just walked past. And they looked at one another and they realized, you know what they realized? It's that all of them, without realizing, they had cut their hands. They had cut into the flesh of their own hands, but they didn't realize they did that. They caused themselves physical pain just because of the beauty that they just looked at. And subhanallah al-azim, that beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam was a big test for him. What I'm trying to say to you guys is, some of you might have money, but that money is going to become the test for you. Some of you will have the beauty, that beauty becomes a test for you. Some of you become intelligent, that it becomes a test. For example, you do these studies, you'll see these kids. You know, if a kid is ahead of his age, sometimes you get these kids, that he's 10 years old, he's with all 10-year-olds, but his brain is actually thinking like a 12-year-old. And he's faster, much faster than all the peers that he has. You know what I'm talking about, guys? Yeah? You know, most of those guys whose intelligence intelligence surpasses their peers, you know what happens? They get bullied. There's loads of studies that have happened. They get bullied by their own peers. Why? They're jealous. They're jealous. And they start making stuff about him. Yeah, yeah, you think you know it all, don't you? Huh? Huh? You think you just know it, don't you? Brainy, but oh yeah, yeah, you're just too brainy, man. It's fine. And they'll come and they'll pick on him and they'll start physically hitting him because he's just got too much than the rest of them. Those women in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, they thought, what did we say, man? This woman is after a guy that we all want. We all want this guy. And if you find yourself, there are some people who go, you know, some young guys, they go to school and then they got all eyes on me, and then they, you know, they're straight into fitna. They're straight into the tribulation of this world that Allah has created. And the thing is, you can do all of this. Like I tell you another one, yeah? Some young lad goes to school and he starts to show that he's tough, yeah? Because, man, I've got it. You know, he's got his knuckles, he's got his body, he's got his muscle, and he's always like showing that, you know, he's hard, he's acting tough. You know what happens? What happens is, his own peers, they rate him first. They say, wow, yeah man, you know, don't mess with him, man. Yeah? Don't mess with Isaac, you know, Isaac's got him, man. You know, he can sort you out. Yeah? You know what after a while they do? They want to use you, the guy, Mr. Tough Guy, to go and have fights. They want to watch fights. They want to make you fight. So they find another tough guy and they start stirring in between. They say, yeah, if Isaac had a one-on with, you know, Mo over there, yeah, I'm telling you, it'd be game over, man, game over. They start stirring. They want him to fight him. Now, what wrong did Isaac do and Mo do that they're going to make both of these guys fight? Nah. Mo, and the another party will go to Mo, hey, Mo, listen, you're the toughest, right? we want to find out who the toughest out of you. So half of them will say, I think it's more. Half of them, I think it's Isaac. Isaac, I wouldn't take that. Isaac, I wouldn't take that. I wouldn't take that. I wouldn't take that. They pump them up, and they make these two guys fight. For what? For entertainment. All these boxers out there, all these people out there, okay, some of them are doing it for professions, but you know what? Most of the people who are making them fight are just doing it for pure entertainment. They want to see blood. They want to see you get hurt. Because of pure entertainment. That's all it is. And if you win, yeah, you have a big crowd behind you. You win, yeah, the big crowd behind you. You got a big mouth, you're going to get bigger crowd behind you. You know one celebrity to look at in the last century, which most of you are probably familiar with in boxing, is Muhammad Ali. You know, you guys know Muhammad Ali? Yeah, the boxer. One of the most famous celebrities in the last century. And he was a young guy at the age of 22, and he won the world championship of boxing. He got there. He became the world champion in heavyweight boxing at the age of 22 years old. And when he reached there, he thought, you know what? This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Yeah? At the time, he was known as Classicus K, Classicus Clay or something. Yeah? Then what happens is, once you get to the top, everyone else wants to knock you down. That's the problem with human beings. So now everyone wants to see him lose. First, they wanted to see him win, and he won. Yeah, we got this young guy. This young guy came inside, and boom, boom, boom. It was all over. Yeah. Mom, Dali, speak. Oh, classic Clay, Mr. Clay, speak. And he's like, he's on top of the world. Then you get a whole group of people that just want to see him lose. He had a big mouth as well. He says it himself. He has a big mouth. So he used to like big his fights up by through his mouth. But you know what? People want to see him lose. The people want to just see him lose. Then he won the title again. People want to really see him lose. Why? Because that's the nature of people. Whenever you get on top, they want to see you at the bottom. Whenever you get right to the bottom, people feel sorry for you. Then they want to get you towards the top. They want to pick you up a bit. When you get up again and you're too much for them, you go ahead of them, then they want to drop you down again. This is people, my friend. My friend, wake up. This is the world. The media does it all the time with people. They make celebrities. They make them big. People see them and people think, wow. They get the crowds going. And then they say, the greater the fame they have, and then once they drop them, the greater the drop they have, the more money they make. The media guys are out there. They want to make you famous because they want money. They want you famous, they're making money. Once your popularity is going down, they want to drop you and make money out of that. Everyone's out there for their own gain. You, my friend, if you're thinking all eyes are on me because I've got these qualities and I'm really there for this. Listen, my friend, A, it's not going to last very long. There's never been a human being that has had all eyes on me until he's gone to his grave. Never. If his beauty, you can imagine by the time you get to 40, 50, yeah, people are going to be making jokes out of you, my friend. You can't be Mr. Handsome at the age of 40 and 50. No matter how much of a celebrity you are, you can't. There's always more younger guys coming out there, or younger girls coming out there that are going to be much more beautiful than you. And with age, you start losing beauty. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Don't think it's going to last forever. Doesn't matter how much money you have. And some people think, you know what? If I have the money, that's it. My life's sorted. What do you mean sorted? Is your life sorted when you got the money? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I'll tell you one thing, yeah? There are more problems with people who have money than people who don't have money. Whether you want to take that from me or not, you want to look at the lives of those people who've got a lot of money. Because you know when you've got a lot of money, you've got a lot more to buy. You've got a lot more to spend. You've got a lot more to show off with. And when you do that, or your wife does that, or your husband does that, or your children do that, you've got problems. You're inviting problems. You're inviting problems. And that's going to be a test for you. The money itself is a test for you. Your problems cannot disappear because of money. People think quick time. You know, young guys, they think, you know what? If I was to be able to make quick money, quick time, while I'm still young, I got all my problems sorted out. It's wrong. There's no young man. Show me one young man who's made a lot of money and he's got no problems. From the greatest of people, you can say, you don't even know half their lives. There's more suicidal rates out there with people who are rich than who are poor. There's more people who commit suicide who are rich than people who commit suicide because they're poor. And it's a known fact. Why? Because you run into a lot of problems. That money starts to get you in the wrong place at the wrong time. And those young people who think that they can just sell drugs and sell something else and make quick money, what's on their heads? When they get the money, they will get the girls. They'll get the cars. That's the first thing on most young men's mind, yeah? Girls and cars, they'll all be mine. All eyes on me. Like they say, I mean, that phrase has been taken from Tupac's song, right? All eyes on his rap song, yeah? All eyes on me. Guys, where's Tupac right now? Where's Tupac right now, gonna tell me? He's dead. He's gone. Do you think Tupac thought that he was going to be gone at the age that he went? Yes or no? No? No. I'm sure he didn't. Tupac was, I mean, with all due respect to him, again, this is not because I'm against Tupac or this or that, but I actually watched a whole documentary on Tupac, a whole documentary on him. I read a whole massive thing on him. Maybe even Muhammad Ali, I'm saying to you, I read a whole book on Muhammad Ali. Because I like to, you know, when you have these people and they're making a lot of fame and they're getting a lot of money, whatever, you want to start to follow what actually happens to them. And you want to start saying that, you know what, this celebrity, this happened, that celebrity, that happened, that celebrity, that happened. And then you carry on going. Look at Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was, he said, I am the greatest. One of his famous phrases are what? I am the greatest. And today, Muhammad Ali, we know, has got Parkinson's. And I'm not, again, in any way, I'm not saying that he was given that for any reason, but what I'm saying is Muhammad Ali has been humble enough at this age to say that I reached the top of the world, I said I'm the greatest, and then he added on in recent times, he said, I am not the greatest. I am not the greatest. Because who is the greatest, guys? Who's the greatest, guys? Allah. Muhammad Ali was humble enough to actually say that. And may Allah accept that as a kind of a tawbah from him. I mean, he's a Muslim. May Allah accept his tawbah and so on. Because making that phrase, I am the greatest, which is fine. As a young man, you're going to make it. You're 22 years old. You're on top of the world. Nobody else has done what you've done. You know, that you're so fast. You're so fast. Your legwork is so fast. And you punch. And, you know, he used to say, you can't hit what your eyes can't see. And he used to have these phrases. And he used to make you feel mesmerized. And he used to bully his opponents. I read a whole book on him and, you know, his mind. Because what I'm interested in is in the mind. What happens to the mind when Allah gives you a gift like that? And after a while, you know what happened is that, obviously, in boxing, you're going to get your head smashed a lot of times. And that starts to kill off your cells inside your head. And after a time, you know, how's a 30-year-old, a mid-30-year-old, going to carry on being as agile he is in a boxing match, you know, in a boxing ring, with young guys that are coming who are 22 or 25, as young as Muhammad Ali was when he first started to fight or become the world champion? There's no way he can match them. But anyway, he won the world championship three times, the world title three times. After that, he retired. And then he got Parkinson's. And slowly, slowly, his whole life starts to become slow. His whole life, his whole body starts to slow down. And his hands are shaking. The same hands were so fast, those hands are shaking right now. We don't wish that on anyone, but what we're saying to you is that look at what life does to you. Tupac, he got himself. Tupac was a man who had, you know, a beautiful body. He had a muscular body. He grew up in a normal sort of neighborhood in America. Normal for sort of black people. And you know, those black people, they're oppressed. So naturally they grow up with this kind of mentality of being a victim. So he grows up and he's surrounded by these rap artists. So he becomes a rap artist himself. Now these rap artists, I've read upon these rap artists, and you've got to understand the psychology behind it. How they become famous is when they are able to put others down. That's when a rap artist will become famous. So you've got to become a master in cussing people. That's what it's about. Or you cuss yourself, you cuss your people, you cuss others, and you use your tongue with stuff and things that are you know, for us in Sharia, it's haram. You've got to do all of that to make yourself get all eyes on me. Now, Tupac, if you actually look at a lot of his lyrics, there are swear words there and so on. So I'm not asking you to go into all of that. But what I want to say to you is that look at the mentality of this young man. This young man, all of a sudden, he starts to get fame because the way he's rapping, he's an intelligent guy. So he's able to use his tongue and he's able to get these lyrics in his head and write them out and say them in, you know, in rap form in a way that people say, wow, yeah, go on, go on, go on. And they're giving him that, you know, push on. The DJs are telling him to go on, and he gets into these situations where his crowds are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So he's going from one club to another club to another club until he finds himself like the big shots in the rap world. And Tupac's one of those where he's got, you know, he's got his gold chains around him, he's got his gold, you know, rings and diamond rings and whatever all on him. And he's what they call the living the life. But you look at the body language of like doing all of that and this and that, yeah? It's arrogance, end of the day. It's arrogance. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, you know, I'm greater. Like they'll pump the chest up, yeah, to show that I'm bigger. Bigger, like you guys would say, yeah? And you're like, you move your hands in a certain way, trying to say like, you know, like you're, like, or even like, you know, putting the hand with the gun shape and like going like that to show that I'm above you. You're below me. That's the whole attitude. I'm greater than you. You're smaller than me. And you admit it. Now, of course, if you're going to be like Tupac, if you're going to be like that, or any of these rap artists, what you want to do is you want to do the same thing. It's like, yeah, you think you're bigger than me? Okay, I'm coming to sort of take you out. Now, one of them is going to lose. So yeah, there were many people who lost to Tupac, but some, you know, many times they have these swear words that are said to one another, bad swear words to try and get one another down because they've got to remain on top. All eyes on me, they've got to remain on top. And then what happens when you've got a lot of money? What do you do? Well, you've got all the girls. What happens with all the girls? You start to go, you know, you have to get some drugs and other stuff in between. So without that, there's no fun, you understand? When you're in that life, when you're in that world, it's not just the big thing that you just made. You have to live the life, which means that you carry a gun around with you. You've got to, you know, you carry a gun around you for your protection because a lot of guys want to just put a bullet in your head. You've got a bad mouth. You've got a bad tongue. And Tupac, if you look at him, and he used to swear at coppers, he used to swear at police, he used to swear at, you know, general, he used to get on stage and start swearing, and he's like, loose, you know, what are you going to do to me? What are you going to do to me? That's the attitude. I'm too big for you. I got too many followers. And this sense of arrogance gets inside where you're too high. And of course, like I said to you before, people are after you. People want to get you down. Now, I don't know what really happened by the end, because there's mixed stories about his life and why he got shot dead. There are mixed stories. But what I'm going to say is that there was a whole beef between the east side and the west side in America. You guys follow me or not? Guys, you follow me or not? Have I lost some of you or not? Are you with me? Yeah, that's good. There's a whole, you know, beef between the west side and east side. And this happens on the streets of Glasgow. It's going to happen on the streets of London. It happens. What's that? That's my territory. And that's your territory. You stay there. Don't come here. Otherwise, I'm going to like cut you up. Why are you doing this? Because you've got this arrogance. Once arrogance gets inside you, you've got to prove yourself to be the greatest from between all of you lot. Now, in between that, Tupac had made so many enemies because of his tongue. Those enemies were also after him. Other enemies, we don't know which enemies and who took him out and so on. But end of the day, he was the one who phrased all eyes on me. And there were generations of young kids who started to say the phrase and say all eyes are on me. Now, where is Tupac? Tupac's gone. Once you're dead, you're gone. Have you got all eyes on me now when you're dead? Well, you haven't. And this is the big question to all the young people that are listening to this, is that you cannot have all eyes on me for too long. Because even in this world, if you have all eyes on me for a long period of time, by the time you're dead, who wants to look at you? Who wants to be with you? I mean, imagine a man dies. Imagine amongst us, there's one guy who's, you know, we all love, we all look up to. He's like, he's got everything. Oh man, he's got the body, he's got the lyrics, he's got the tongue, he's got the intelligence, he's got the money, he's got the generosity. Whatever you want to say, he's the best guy around, right, for us to look up to him. Now imagine he's around us, and what happens is that we admire this person. The moment this person is dead, imagine he just dies here. Which one of us wants to keep this guy in our house? This dead guy. Which one of us wants to take him home and say, you know what, man, I feel sorry for him, man. And I'm going to keep him alive, man. I'm going to be like, as in he's dead, yeah, but I'm going to keep him in my house here and just look at him and admire him. Which one of us is going to do that? Which one of us will pick him up, take him to our house here, lie him down here, and say, you know what, he's going to stay there. I miss him, man. Let him just stay there. What's going to happen within a few hours or a day or two? What's going to happen? Sorry, gone? He's going to rot. He's going to smell. Even if you froze him and you kept him, what are you going to do with a frozen dead body? Looking at a frozen dead body. That body is waiting to decompose. My friend, all eyes are on me, are not on you anymore when you're gone. All these people out there who are making, you know, themselves look big in front of everybody else, eventually it's gone. If it's not gone because they lost their wealth, or they lost their beauty, or they lost their power, or they lost their intelligence, or they lost their agility, or they lost some skill, if it's not gone because of that, it's gone because of their debts. It's gone. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Allah has the final say in everything. Allah has the final result in everything. What your final stage is the beginning of how Allah is going to see you in a new world. And you've got to realize that this is reality. So this Tupac and the other people who make these, you know, songs and so on, they're at the top today, my friend. Tomorrow they're gone. Tomorrow they're gone. And Allah has told us a reality in the Quran. He said, what? He said, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَ. He said, don't walk on this earth as one who is displaying arrogance. Don't walk on this earth. Allah is saying this, you know, the funny thing is, whose earth is it? Whose earth is it? Come on, guys, whose earth is it? Allah's earth. Now, imagine somebody comes to your house. You say to him, look, come in my house, man. Yeah, man, you stay here, man. Don't worry. Yeah. Say, don't worry about man. Stay here. Yeah. You give him your food. You tell him your fridge is his fridge. You tell him he can eat whatever he wants. You tell him your bed or bedroom you've given him is his bedroom. You make him part of your house. You tell him anytime he needs anything, just to call you or call your, you know, one of your people in your house, and basically it's his. Right? So he stays in your house, and then you know what he does? By staying in your house, this guy who's your friend came in your house, he's sleeping on your mattress that you provided, he's having a shower, and you know, with a bill that you're paying the bills for this, and then he's eating in your house, he's walking on your ground, and then he basically walks on your ground in your house, and he says, hey man, I can do what I want here, innit? I can do what I want here. And he starts to treat your house like his house, and he doesn't recognize you as the one who owns his house. Imagine someone did that to you. What would you guys do? Tell me. What would you guys do? The guy is basically running your house like he's you. What would you do? Come on, guys. Kick him out, right? You'd get him out. Now, imagine you're just letting him roam around for a little while. Whose house it is? It's your house. If you want to kick him out, you can kick him out. The point, my brothers, is, my sisters, is whose earth is it? the earth, وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ. Allah has called this His earth. Allah's looking down on us. And some of us on this earth are like, all eyes on me. You know, I'm living the big life. I'm living the life. And we're trying to get this attention on ourselves, and we forget the earth belongs to Allah. How dare I eat from Allah's earth, walk on Allah's earth, drink from Allah's earth and the rivers and waters and rainwater supplied? How arrogant am I to do all of that and to feel that I'm living the life when the place belongs to Allah? And Allah told us in the Quran, don't do that. Don't walk on my ground, arrogant in front of me. And Allah then adds, this is in Surah number 17, ayah number 37. Allah says, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah said, no matter how, you know how some people do, they become arrogant and they stamp their feet and they walk, you know, stamping the ground, like boom, 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 boom. Some people, you know, some people swing their arms, don't they? Yeah? Swing their arms, bang their feet on the ground, like they walk like, yeah, yeah, like puffed up. They even puff their cheeks up. Allah said, Nahul Quran, وَلَا تُسَعِدْ خَدَّكْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah said, don't puff your cheeks up like, like they move the jaws apart to make them their mouth look a bit bigger. Yeah? Yes or no, guys? Come on. Yeah? They puff their cheeks up. Chest out. Allah's talking about all of this in the Quran. But they have this arrogance. And Allah said, Na'a bi janibay. Like he swings his arms while he walks. Yeah? One is he's walking on my ground. Second is that he's stamping the ground. Third is he's got his cheeks puffed up and he's walking arrogantly. Why? Because he wants the attention of people. And Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, in front of Allah, he does all of this. Allah says to him, and this is in the Quran, in Surah 17, ayah number 37, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah said, no matter how haughtily you walk on my ground, you will not be able to rip the earth beneath your feet. Have you ever seen a man who walks on the ground, and as he's walking on the ground, he's actually tearing the ground beneath him as he's walking? Have you ever seen a guy who's doing that? Have you seen a guy doing that? Have you seen him do that? No. Allah says, you won't be able to tear the ground beneath you. And you think, what, you're big? As in, like, you know, you're trying to put your chest out, you're trying to look, make yourself big and tall and mighty. Allah says, well, look, I've created other things, yeah? Allah says, وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. You will not be able to be as tall as the mountains that I've created. You want to be tough? You want to look at the mountains I've created? They're tougher than you, guy. There's a big message in here, guys. Allah's saying, my mountain I created, that's just sitting there doing nothing. Yeah, that mountain is tougher than you. That mountain is taller than you. Don't think you're going to get as tough as the mountain that I've created. You think you're solid? You think you're tough? Well, try and move a mountain. Try and move a mountain. You can't move a mountain? Well, you should know that that mountain is nothing to me. It's nothing to me. Allah will make, imagine this, Allah will make the mountains when He orders Israfil alayhi salam and He tells him to blow into the horn. When He blows into the horn, Allah will make the mountains fly across the sky through that sound. You can imagine how loud that sound is and how catastrophic it's going to be. And Allah's telling this man, you walk arrogant on my earth. Don't think you're going to be as tall as the mountains, and don't think you're going to rip the earth. Allah's saying, Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Allah says, I don't like the one who expresses his arrogance through his actions, and I don't like the one who expresses his arrogance through his tongue and tries to talk proudly of himself. You know why Allah doesn't like it? I'm going to answer that and I'm going to finish. Can anyone tell me why Allah doesn't like any human being to express their arrogance through their body language or through their mouth? Can anyone tell me? Anyone tell me? Sorry?
Because
Anyone else? Anyone else?
Arrogance.
Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Who gave you that body? Take his name, go on. Take his name, go loudly. Who gave you the strength? Go on, say loudly. Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the beauty? Who gave you the intelligence? Who gave you the money? Who gave you the education? Who gave you the ability to be so agile? Who gave you the skills? Who gave you the tongue? So you use Allah's given tongue, Allah's given body, Allah's given skills, Allah's given, you know, trends. You use all of that to show that you're big when it's all Allah's. That's why Allah hates it. Allah hates, like, I gave it to you. I didn't have to give it to you. And you use my things to show that how great you are. Allah Azza wa Jal, like I said to you, said in the Quran that He doesn't like people who through their body language and through their tongue start to become arrogant. Why not? Because these are His gifts that He's given to us. We're supposed to use His gifts to show Him appreciation. So we're supposed to say, instead of saying, all eyes on me, we're supposed to say to Allah, all eyes on you. That's the game. All eyes on me to all eyes on you. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla has said his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a statement, "Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah." Whosoever will be humble for Allah's sake, Allah will raise them up. There is nobody who's got more power than Allah. Nobody who's got more, you know, qualities than Allah. Nobody who's got anything that we would like except that Allah has it. Allah said in the Holy Quran, He has khaza'inu kulli shay. He has the provisions for everything. He has the treasures of everything you would ever want. Allah says He's got mafatihul ghayb. He's got the keys to the unseen world. He's got all of them. Anything you need, He's got it. So what happens is, according to that same hadith, وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ, whosoever is arrogant, Allah will smite them down. So what's happening is, when people are getting jealous of us because we're trying to say all eyes on me, what's really happening is Allah hates the person who's trying to show that he's arrogant. Because Allah says that you're almost like, it's almost like trying to challenge me as God and trying to say that you are the greatest. And in the hadith it says, whosoever shows that kind of arrogance, Allah says that you're almost trying to snatch. Is that there's an example in a hadith of Bukhari. Now, by saying this example, we're not saying that Allah is in a human form. We're not saying that. So, you know, don't get the wrong end of this. Allah says, whoever will try and snatch my cloak off me, he said, the cloak, he said, al-kibriya'u rida'i. In the hadith of Qudsi, he says, Allah is speaking, he's saying that being proud and showing that you are greater than others, this is like my cloak. Wal-azamatu izari, and showing greatness, that is like my lower garment. Meaning that Allah doesn't wear any clothes, but He's just trying to say that the way you might have a cloak, an upper garment and a lower garment, Allah is saying that what is most closest to me and what's attached to me is that I am the greatest. Allah is Akbar, Allah is the greatest. So it's very, very close to Allah, these two things. Like trying to show that you are great and trying to show that you're better than others and trying to show pride and whatever. That's Allah's thing. To show others that He is greater, He is proud of who He is. That's Allah's thing, not your thing. And Allah says, these two things are like my cloak and my lower garment. Meaning not literal clothing, but trying to show us an expression of, like you trying to have a whole cloak and a lower garment. And He says, مَن نَازَعَنِي وَاحِدًا مِّنْهُمَا, whosoever will try and snatch or seize one of these two garments off me, yeah, qasamtu, I will break him. I'll break him. What is Allah trying to say? Is that if you show that you are going to be great on the earth, I'll break you. So why all these people who show all eyes on me go down is because Allah is the one making them go down. If you're on this earth and you're trying to show that you're living the life because, you know, all eyes should be on you because you've got some gifts of Allah that you're trying to show, yeah, it's all mine. Look at me, who I am. And you're trying to big yourself up. You're trying to show that you're greater than others. You're trying to put others down. You're trying to cuss them. You're trying to show that you got more than them. You're trying to show that, you know, that guy, he can't even speak like me. He can't even talk like me. He can't even think like me. She can't even do this like me. You know, I'm their one. And when you say that, Allah says, I'm going to break you. So how He breaks you is, those very eyes that are on you, naturally, some of them start to hate you. Or they have jealousy of you. Or they want what you have. And in not wanting what you have, they come after you. Or you get into a position where you got too proud, you said something, another guy is proud as well, and you both clashed. One of you two lions have to go down today. One of you two lions are going to end up with a bloody nose today. And that's what happens. And that's how Allah breaks people. What's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is Allah said, you be humble for my sake. So I gave you gifts. And you're humble enough to say, all eyes on you, Allah. Meaning that, you know, Allah, it's not mine. That's humbleness. The opposite of all eyes on me is all eyes on you, O Allah. Allah, I would not be who I am without you giving me these gifts. Allah, I recognize that the intelligence is only from you. Allah, all the brain cells working in my head, every single one of them, you control them. Allah, all my thoughts and the patterns in my head and the people that I meet and the articles that I read and the education that you gave me and the conversations that I have and the people that I, you know, talk to or communicate through my phone to, they're all yours. All those people and their heads and their brain cells and their patterns of thinking, you control all of that. It's all yours, O Allah. And O Allah, if somebody sees beauty in me, it's because you put the beauty in their eyes to see me beautiful. Yes or no, guys? You can't be beautiful. I don't care how handsome you think you are. If Allah doesn't make people see you handsome, you're going to be Mr. Ugly. You're going to be Mr. Ugly. And sometimes Mr. Ugly, when Allah wants to make a woman fall in love with him, he becomes Mr. Handsome. Yes or no? And you know the funny thing is, yeah, there's some guys out there, they think they're too good looking. All the time, yeah, you know, flicking their hair. Looking themselves in the mirror. They probably look at themselves in the mirror about, you know, at least 5 times a day. Yeah. Fard for them, brothers, yeah. Looking at the mirror, looking at themselves closely. Man, when they look at me, they think this, that, yeah. So these guys, they wear the smartest clothes, the iron clothes, they go out, you know, that. They're living, they just go out and they know, yeah, the girls are just looking at them, you know. They've got the beauty. They go out there and the girls are just looking at them. All the girls are all giggly and bubbly around them, yeah? And these girls want the guy. But the funny thing is, yeah, the guy's handsome. And when these girls come after him, he says, nah, I don't want that one. I can get someone better than that. More beautiful than her. Why should I go after her for? Another girl's after him. Nah, you're not my charm yet. Another one comes. Nah, not this one. Not that one. Not this one. Not that one. And he's like, no. Out of all these 50 women that are after him, he's thinking, where's the 51st going to come? And if another 20 comes, they think, I wanted someone even more. And then when somebody beautiful comes, he thinks, should I not? Should I pull all my eggs in a basket with this one? Should I not? Maybe not. There's always more beautiful girls than that. And one day some real beautiful girl is going to come for me, yeah? While he's doing all this and he's being so picky and choosy and so arrogant with his own handsomeness, he considered others to be less pretty and less handsome than him. And you know what happens? Those guys are humble. You know what? They know they ain't got the looks, yeah? They go in life, they think, man, which woman would ever even dream of marrying me? Yeah, I'll be lucky, man, even if a woman comes along and says that she likes me. And suddenly this nice girl comes up and likes him. And if he was the other guy, you know, Mr. Handsome, he would have said, nah, not her. I'm going to get more beautiful than that, yeah? So this, you know, the guy who considered himself not too good, he says, yeah, fine, proposal, yeah, fine, yeah, let's get married. So they get married, alhamdulillah. And the other guy who's Mr. Handsome, he's on his 71st one. He's thinking, where's the 72nd one, you know? He gets all high, and he gets there, and then all of a sudden, he realizes that she's not coming along. And then he realizes all the girls that he rejected, they're all getting married. And then he realizes that, you know what? He said no to so many, nobody wants him right now. That guy thinks he's too arrogant. And in the end, he wants one. He wants less beautiful than the ones he rejected. He's not getting anyone. They're not interested in him anymore. They say, hey guy, how come you're 32 years old, man? How come you're 33? You ain't married yet. What's wrong with you? And now he's losing his hair, you get me? Yeah, before he's like flicking, all that, yeah? And now he's losing his hair. Now he's thinking, man, I better find someone. It's funny how things change around. Man tawadha'a lillah, whosoever is humble for Allah's sake, Allah raises them. Whosoever is arrogant, Allah will drop them to the ground. My friends, what we should do is we should recognize that it's only through Allah's giving that we have what we've got. And because of that, we need to say to Allah, oh Allah, you know, all of it's yours. All of it, including all the people whose eyes are on me, those eyes would not be on me if it wasn't for you. Allah said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Musa alayhi salam was, he came to Allah in the place where Allah gave him wahi. Allah says, wa alqaytu alayka mahabbatan min. He said, oh Musa, I made your worst enemy like you. Firaun was killing all those babies to kill you. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. I made Firaun fall in love with your beauty when you were a young baby, innocent and about to die. Firaun just liked you and he kept you alive. He kept you alive. That love that I put into Firaun's heart, that was me that put that heart, that love in his heart. So if Allah wants to, my friend, if an enemy wants to have mercy on me, that mercy comes from Allah. That mercy comes from Allah. If a person is going to let me off for something I've done wrong, that's from Allah. If ever I've got out of a problem in this life, it's only Allah that got me out of it. If I came out of an illness, the illness came from Allah, the illness goes away from Allah. That's Allah, He controls everything. Be humble in front of Him. Allah Azza wa Jalla says to us, I mean, if I've got a shelter over my house, Allah said in the Quran, I provided you that shelter. So every time you sleep in a night when, you know, out there it's raining, it's windy, you should be humble enough to just thank Allah that you've got a shelter over your house. And don't care about others saying that they're bigger than you or whatever. Don't care about that. What you should humble yourself with is that Allah gave me a shelter, Allah puts food on the table for me, and just thank Allah. Because if you can just thank Allah and show Him appreciation, He will be happy. And if He is happy with you, if Allah is happy with you, my friend, with me, with you, if Allah is happy, you've got the king, you've got the kingdom. You've got the king, you've got the kingdom. And if you lose the king, then you lose his kingdom. No matter how much you've got, you've lost anything. Like that poet said, very famously, he said, مَاذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكْ وَمَاذَا فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكْ. So beautiful, he said, مَاذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكْ. Oh Allah, the one who found everything, the one who found everything but lost you, what has he really found? The one who found everything but lost you, O Allah, what has he found? وَمَاذَا فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكْ. The one who lost everything but found you, what has he lost? The one who lost everything but found you, what has he lost? Yeah, my friends, you know, all eyes on me, there's going to be another episode to that. On the day of judgment, there are going to be certain people on the day of judgment. If you can be a person being humble on this earth, trying to go towards Allah on this earth. You get on the Day of Judgment, and on the Day of Judgment, if you can have all eyes on you, you've made it, my friend. This is the real place to get all eyes on me. The one who gets his book in his right hand, he will say, "Ha, umuqra'u kitabiyya, come on, read my book, hey, read my book, read my book, read my book, look at this. All eyes on me." If you can do that on the Day of Judgment, yeah, you've got the book in your right hand, you've made it. You've seriously made it. And on that day, nobody can get jealous of you. Nobody wants to snatch the book of you. Nobody wants to put you down. Even Allah is proud of you on that day. And all eyes on me, that's the day you want to have all eyes on yourself. If on the Day of Judgment, your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, man, that's the day you want to say proudly, "All eyes on me." That's the day you want to say that. And all eyes are going to be on you. Every man who has, every woman who has the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, every eye is going to be looking at them. Oh, wow. Wow, I wish I was in his position. I wish I was like that. That's the day you want to be proud of. If you manage to get under the arsh and the throne of Allah on the Day of Judgment and drink kawthar with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all eyes are on me. That's the day you're going to have all eyes on me. If you're able to get on the Day of Judgment and you cross the bridge without having to go to Jahannam, that's all eyes on me. If you get into Jannah, wow, wow, that's it. All eyes on me. Forget that. You know your Yahudis in Jannah, they're going to have all eyes on you, brother. You guys are so sad, man, in Glasgow, man. So you guys are so sad, man. Maybe you never understood what Yahudis are. Yeah, you know Yahudis are? You know Yahudis are? Hoodies, no? The young girls of Jannah. You're still sad. You know, you're thinking, "Man, I can't smile. I'm on camera. I might get seen by my wife who's upstairs listening to this. I don't want to be here, and I have all eyes on me right now." Yeah, well, you'll have all eyes on yourself when you get to Jannah. Because the thing is, you get to Jannah, and seriously, the people who Allah has created for you, your servants, or he's created the women for you in Jannah, they will literally have their eyes just on you. They don't know anything else except that they just want to make you feel happy. They always just want to make you feel happy. That's the world to try and get all eyes on me in a good way. If you can get any of this, if you can get to death and you got no worries at the time of death, if you can smell the fragrance of paradise at death time, that's all eyes on me. If you've got an announcement, because these are real announcements that get made at the time of death, if you can get this, what they will say is that certain angels will come and they'll say, "Abshir bi rawhin wa rayhan wa rabbin ghaydi ghabban." They'll say, "Good news to you, because here's the fragrance of Jannah. Here's the wind and the fragrance, all that of Jannah. The fragrance that comes from Jannah is right detecting, is your nose is detecting it right now. Wa rabbin ghaydi ghabban." We give you good news that you've got a Lord that will never become angry with you ever again. That is all eyes on me, if you can get there. But my brothers, if you lead a life here on this earth where you're trying to get all eyes on yourself, you get into trouble in this world, and if in the Akhirah you've lost all eyes on yourself, or you're getting all eyes on you because you're in trouble, that's not a good thing to look forward to. That's not a good thing to have. So what we want is, we want to be in this world, we want to say, "All eyes on you, Allah. Allah, you gave me all of this. All of this belongs to you. The muhabba and the love in people's hearts for me belongs to you. The muscles I have belongs to you. The agile body I have belongs to you. The skills I have belongs to you. It belongs to you, and you carry on humbling yourself and saying, "Oh Allah, it's you." You know what Allah does? Allah makes people love you. Allah puts qualities in you. Because you're humble, Allah makes people like you. Allah makes people want to become like you. Allah makes people want to follow you. Allah makes people come to you that have really good hearts. Really good hearts. Naturally Allah does that. Naturally Allah does that. You look around, you see the people who are humble. You know, if you see a humble person, really humble, he doesn't want to hurt you, he doesn't want to show he's greater than you or greater than anybody else, and he's really nice, gentle, and got a good heart, don't you really like that person? Tell me yes or no. And you just naturally like that person. That's how Allah's made the system. You try and say, all eyes on me, people start falling out with you. You start to say, well, no eyes on me, people want to have eyes on you. That's how the system works. You say, oh, all eyes on you, Allah. Allah starts to make people, you know, love you. Whether you have money or something or intelligence or something else or not, doesn't matter. But you need to know that Allah is on your side. And you've got the king, you've got everything. You've got the king, you've got the kingdom. You lose the king, Allah Azza wa Jalla. You lose the king because of you trying to get all eyes on you. You lose the king, you lose dignity. And this is one of the most important parts that I'm going to say. You want all eyes on you. Why? You want attention. You want to be known as someone who's got dignity. You want to be known who someone's got honor. You want people to say to you that you've got the honor. You've got the greatness. You want that? Well, Allah says this in the Holy Quran. He says what?
وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
Only to Allah belongs honor. All honor is Allah's.
أَلَا إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا.
All honor belongs to Allah. Nobody else has the honor unless Allah gives you honor. If you are honor, Allah gives you the honor, you've got honor. If Allah takes it away from you, you've got no honor. That's Allah who controls honor. If you want honor, you recognize that Allah's got it, His messenger's got it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the believers have it. They've got real honor. Why? Because it's not based on this world, my friend. There are two worlds. This is a 60-year part of your world, 70-year part of the world, of a 50,000 years of the Day of Judgment. So 50,000 and 60 or 70 years, 50,000 on one side, and 60, 70, 80, 90 years another side. What's greater, guys? What's greater, guys? Go and say. That's why Allah's saying, you want dignity? You better look at the 50,000 years of the Day of Judgment. You better look at eternal life. Don't look at your 80 years here. Don't look at your 70 years here. Don't look at your short 50 years here. Don't look at that. If you want to humble yourself, then you look at the 50,000 years. You want all eyes on you, then you better have all eyes on you on the 50,000 years, not on the 70 years or the 60 years that you had. And how, you know, one great scholar said, he said, how can you be so arrogant when you pass through, your father's organ and your mother's organ? You pass through two organs. How can you make yourself think that you got pride? How can you think of that? You passed by two, pathways where people urinate. You pass by there. How can you think yourself to be arrogant? Another scholar said, how can you become arrogant when you're of the earth, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to us, he said, "Kullukum min Adam." He said, "All of you are from Adam alayhi salam." Wa Adam min turab, and Adam alayhi salam was from the earth. He's made from the soil. How can you be arrogant? How can you think you're so great when you're made of the soil? Minha khalaqnakum. We created you from the earth. Wa fiha nu'idukum, and in the earth, your body is gonna go back and decompose. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَىٰ, and then you're going to come back on the Day of Judgment from that earth. You belong to the earth, you're going to rot in the earth, and then you're going to be resurrected from the earth. You're from the earth, you are the earth, you are soil. So how can you be arrogant? May Allah Azza wa Jal make me and make you people who are humble for His sake. May Allah give us true honor. May Allah raise our status. May Allah make us people who have all eyes on me for a good purpose, for the Day of Judgment, not just because of this earth. And like, I'll finish off with a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a beautiful dua. It's a beautiful dua. It's opposite to this lyric of all eyes on me. It's a beautiful dua. He said, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira. That's it. Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira wa ja'alni fi a'yunin nasi kabira. Is there? Yeah? Oh Allah, make me small in my eyes. Like, let me see myself humble in my eyes. Like I just see myself small. وَاجْعَلْنِي فِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ كَبِيرًا but make me great in the sight of people. So there's nothing wrong in people seeing you great in this earth as long as you say, no, I am not great. Everything belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla and I'm humble for that sake. Jazakumullah khair, guys.
حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ